This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on June 2, 2019, the seventh Sunday after Easter, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Father, I desire that they also, whom thou hast given me, may be with me where I am. May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It should be first and foremost in our minds and hearts and in the way we live our lives to do what our Lord Jesus Christ desires. When our Lord Jesus Christ's own lips is praying to the Father in heaven, he says, Father, I desire that they also whom thou hast given me may be with me where I am. Our Lord Jesus Christ desires that you be with him. He desires that all should be with him. The passage today in Revelation encapsulates this. It says, come. It's an invitation. Come. Let him who is thirsty come. Let him who desires take the water of life without price. It's an invitation. I love the motif of the invitation. But we do have to pay attention to what an invitation says. You get an invitation to an event, party, whatever. You get an invitation, oh, so-and-so invited me to their house. I'll show up whenever, however I want. No, the invitation says specifically on there, you need to come to this place, this is what time it is, and in some cases, if it's a very technical and formal invitation, it'll tell you how to dress. You get an invitation to a black tie formal. You show up there without a tuxedo on. Guess what? You're not coming in. Business casual, black tie, whatever. It gets specific. Our Lord Jesus Christ's invitation is specific. His invitation to us is the Scripture. All scriptures are inspired by God, and they are his invitation as to how we should come to the event. He desires you to be there. You got to follow the invitation. We usually feel special when we get invited, particularly if it's like really outlandish event. I got invited to this. I got invited to that. Could you be puffed up? I got invited to heaven. Who didn't? Okay? Everyone gets an invitation to heaven. It's how they accept it as to the telling factor as to whether they get into the event or not. Who is this invitation for? Like I said, it's for everybody. Our Lord Jesus Christ used this motif about being thirsty. What's that all about? Well, if you know the scriptures, it's prominent throughout the scriptures to be thirsty. Not talking about thirsty like you need a drink of water. He means thirsty spiritually. Guess who that is? Everyone. Everyone thirsts spiritually. We live in a parched and desert land, as the scriptures say. We're thirsty. When you're in a parched and desert land, you got to know. Hold that thought for a second. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he speaks of times when he will make you thirsty. We're just thirsty by nature because we are in a parched land. We're all thirsty by nature, but every now and then he will make you more thirsty. You're out walking in a desert. You have a canteen that's got like this much water in it. You're just kind of nipping at it. You're still thirsty, but you're kind of nursing the water that you have. Jesus Christ, God, will on occasion take that canteen from you. What? God would never do that. That sounds all warm and fuzzy, but that's not what God says. The prophet Amos, chapter 8. Our Lord says to the people of Israel, I'm going to bring a famine on this land. I am going to bring a thirst that is pervasive. Not a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Well, if they're messing up, why would he take the word from? They had the word. They knew what he wanted of them, and they were complacent and self-indulgent. Complacent and self-indulgent. Our God would not be just if he did not do to us what he did to them. He called them complacent and self-indulgent. There has never been a time on the face of this earth when his people have not been more complacent and self-indulgent. Self-indulgent. Well, I like going to that mass over there because it's only 20 minutes long. That's self-indulgence. The church itself, oh, let's cut this back. Let's take this out. That's self-indulgence. It's self-indulgence and it's complacent. They go hand in hand. Ah, is it that big a deal? Oh, Jesus knows my heart. He also knows by your fruit that he can judge you. We have to understand that our Lord Jesus will take the word that he has given us away from us. You see that manifest. You know, how often do I say, and I'll hit it later on, how often do I talk about when things are left out of God's word? I'm really thirsty. Here's a glass of water. And when we take things out of the word of God, you're really thirsty? Here. I'm going to empty some of this out. Here, drink this. You're still going to be thirsty. Our Lord Jesus Christ will take away his word. He says he will. Not because I say it is, not conjecturally. He says he will do it if we are complacent and self-indulgent, and that's the times in which we live. Our Lord Jesus Christ says in Matthew 5, the Beatitudes, everybody loves the Beatitudes. They're not up in your face. He's talking about blessed are those who thirst for righteousness' sake, for they shall be satisfied. Thirsting for righteousness. I'm thirsty. I need to find where to drink. John chapter 4, the woman at the well. I mean, she's worldly. Yeah, she's got a bunch of husbands. Well, actually, she's got a bunch of men. None of them are your husband. The one you have isn't your husband. You had a bunch of them. Okay. He reads her heart. She's talking. Yeah. He said, the waters at this well, if you drink them, you will become thirsty again. The waters I will give you, whoever drinks of this water that I shall give will never thirst. It will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Jesus Christ. So when we're talking about this thirst, we're not talking about some abstraction of a spiritual thirst. We're talking about drinking from the wellspring of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ and him alone. He doesn't say, whoever so drinks of the water that I shall give, or this person, or this prophet, or this whatever, this philosophy. No, those are stagnant ponds. Those are stagnant ponds who you can be dying of thirst and you drink from a very stagnant pond. Guess what? You're going to be thirsty and sick and die. We need to avail ourselves of the wellspring of life, which is Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Messiah sent from God and him alone. This is to whom the invitation is, and that's all of us. That is all of us. We are all thirsty, whether we know it or not. This even applies temporally. Personal anecdote. I'm 57 years old. When I was a kid, 5, 6, 7 years old, there wasn't a kid on the block that had tonsils. If you had a sore throat more than a couple times a year, take the tonsils out. Doctors must have made it mint. Nobody had tonsils. You know, it became my turn. Hey, got to get your tonsils out. I went and got my tonsils out. You know what happens when you wake up when your tonsils get taken out? It hurts. Okay? Hey, my throat hurts. Yeah, well, drink something. I'm not drinking anything. My throat hurts. About after 2 days of this, I'm dehydrated as all get out. My mom gave me my medicine, little reprobate that I was. I go in the bathroom, I spit it in the wastebasket. My mom sat in there, snuck up on me. Yeah. After chastised, I didn't get chastised too bad because she was so worried about me. Yeah. She said, you did that, you fell over against the counter. Now it's kind of a no-brainer for an adult to get it. Well, if you had have drank something, guess what? Your throat would have been moistened and it would have felt better. No, when I drink something, my throat hurts and I'm not going to drink anything. What will happen temporarily if you keep that up? You'll die. So I'm laying in the hospital again 2 days after my tonsillectomy with a bag, tube in my arm, And as soon as they put the tube in my arm, bring me ice cream, bring me this, because I was hydrated. I didn't know any better. I didn't even know I'm dying, because that's what would happen if it had regressed. My parents didn't pay attention to me. Oh, you'll feel better. Just go lay in bed. Not drink anything for 2 or 3 days. Even temporally, this applies. How much more spiritually? We've got to appreciate that. We've got to have a heads up that we're thirsty. It may hurt to drink of the waters of the wellspring of our Lord Jesus Christ. I shouldn't say it may. It will. To drink of those waters hurts because we are so parched. We are so parched and we are so complacent and self-indulgent, so self-centered. We don't want to take anything from outside. Oh, I'll just deal with this. No, you'll either accept this invitation or you will die. The invitation is for everybody. But we get this caveat in the scriptures that let him who desires, let him who wills, come. This is why I'm always throwing out that, don't come to me. I can't stand it. Don't go, I can't stop doing this. I can't do that. Keep that to yourself. I know what you mean. I won't stop doing this. I won't do that. I won't drink of the well. He who desires will avail themselves of the well. I said hold the thought on the editing that we hear in the lectionary so often. You look at your bulletins. This one's great. Revelation chapter 22, verses 12 through 14, 16 and 17, 20. 12 to 20, that's 8 verses. Why are we leaving anything out? Well, because what you hear doesn't really jive with what we hear in a lot of places. What does verse 15 say? It says, and this is the caveat, the line of delineation. Oh, the invitation's for everybody. Jesus died on the cross for everybody. Everybody's going to go to heaven. It doesn't matter. It does matter because verse 15 says, outside this kingdom of which I speak, outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the fornicators and the murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. Who's that? Practices falsehood? Well, Jesus Christ, last week's homily, Jesus Christ, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you're following anyone but Jesus Christ, you are practicing falsehood. You are outside. Well, these people talk about God. They're children of Abraham. They don't practice Jesus Christ. They are practicing falsehood. And they are outside the kingdom of heaven. Thus saith the Lord. Why don't we put that kind of stuff in? Because after the readings, what do we say? Thanks be to God, the word of the Lord. That's the word of the Lord too. People who don't practice Christianity are not in the kingdom. They are outside the kingdom of God. First of all, outside are the dogs. I don't want to go to heaven then because I love Muffy and I want to see her when I get to heaven. I don't know, often I hear that. Do animals go to heaven? I love my pets. Me too. But guess what? You got a real low view of heaven if you're all caught up in whether you see Muffy there or not. All right? He's not talking about dogs. Well, who's he talking about? He says dogs. If you know your scriptures, that word is used in a lot of Deuteronomy chapter 23, and for decorum's sake, I will not even go there and read the verse. Suffice it to say, the most demonic and heinous of sins, people who commit them are considered pay the wages of a dog to Christ. Jesus Christ, the personification of mercy and grace, looks at a woman who is coming to him for help and looks at her and says, it's not right to give holy things to dogs. That's your Lord Jesus Christ. He called the woman a dog. She's a Canaanite. She's not the people of God. Does she want him to do something for her because she's superstitious and she heard that he does magical works? I'm going to go to him because he's my last-ditch effort. Or does she truly have faith in Jesus Christ? When she responds and says, Master, even the dogs take crumbs from their master's table. When she calls him master, he knows that and he does her will. This whole dog thing, it applies to unbelievers. It applies to the faithless. That is who the Holy Spirit is speaking of. Outside are the dogs. Outside are the faithless. That's Old Testament harsh stuff. Well, I just told you, Jesus Christ called somebody that out of his own lips. And Peter, in 2 Peter, says that a person who would turn their back on the Catholic Church is a dog returning to its vomit. That's pretty repugnant. That's pretty up in your face. That's the Holy Spirit speaking through St. Peter, the first pope. Anyone who would leave the Catholic Church, who would apostatize, is a dog returning to its vomit. There are people who are not going to inherit it because they don't will to inherit it. They don't desire to inherit it. They will not follow the instructions on the invitation. Our Lord Jesus Christ uses an example of the wedding feast, a parable. And the householder comes in and says, friend, how did you come into the wedding and you don't have a wedding garment? Guy just looks at him, doesn't answer. Which is, when you pose questions to your unbelieving friends or apostate friends, do they have an answer? No. I know. No, you don't. Because what is the response of that householder? Take him and bind him and cast him to everlasting darkness, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth, because he didn't follow the invitation's instructions. That's in your face. This is why it is so important to hear the entirety of God's word. It's to understand context. The verses that we heard read this morning from Revelation chapter 22, they sound very nice, and they are very nice. But what is the context in which Jesus Christ is talking? Revelation chapter 22 is talking about his impending judgment. When he says, come, he's trying to push you. You need to come because I come quickly. I come to judge. That is the entire context. And if you read the verses that we read, where is there anything about judgment in that? It comes before, it comes during, verse 15, it comes after. I always say, this particular passage is the most glaring example of the abomination of leaving things out of Scripture. I always love when this reading comes up, because can you imagine the arrogance of someone, a cleric, I'm sure, because a cleric had to ultimately sign off, not just a cleric, but somebody way up high had to sign off on the new lectionary. And he said to her, he goes, let's see, what verses can I take out? Because if you read Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19 that were left out, one of their verses says, if anyone leaves out any words of this book, let the plagues of this book be upon them. Yeah. That's bold. Let me see. What should I take out? I'll take out this one. Yeah? I go, is it going to really happen or what? Oh, yeah. It's really going to happen. The plague is going to be leveled on them. We can see it manifest in the church because we're not hearing the entire word of God. We are not being able to avail ourselves of the wellsprings of life in their entirety. We're getting half, third, two-thirds of a glass of water. Well, we need the whole thing to sustain our lives. Our Lord Jesus Christ is inviting us, come. The Holy Spirit calls, come. The church, come. We as baptized members of the church, come. Yes, you are mandated. It is your practical duty as a baptized Catholic to invite people into the Catholic Church. Not to, hey, you should really think about coming. Tell them to come. You need to tell them to come, because if they don't, they do not have the fullness of the faith. They have half a glass, third of a glass, if that, of water. Well, what about any church? Well, for one thing, Jesus Christ only established one. Anything else that calls himself that is not. They're a group of people who meet together and do whatever, not questioning their faith, not judging their hearts. I'm just saying they're not in the church that Jesus Christ established. And the ascended Lord Jesus Christ, the one whom we celebrated on Thursday in his ascension, when the last verse of the gospel, of the ascension, it doesn't say that the apostles, after they were admonished to stop gawking up into the sky because Jesus was going to come again just as he went up, they're told to go about their business, his business in this world. And it doesn't say they went and they worshiped everywhere, and they went out to their fishing boats and worshiped, or went out to the golf course and worshiped, or they went back to their house, or went to certain little groups here and there and prayed. It says they went to the temple continually praising God. They didn't just do whatever they wanted. It wasn't just them and Jesus. They went to the temple and they praised God. That is a tremendous integral liturgical dimension of this passage. It is not just about what you hear, it's what you do afterwards, and that's liturgical. It speaks of Eucharistic theology. It reflects on the Blessed Sacrament, the body, blood, and soul of our divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ, because you cannot wait until you die to accept the invitation to drink from the well. Then it's too late. It is appointed to each man to die once, and then the judgment. You don't get a chance on the other side. You got to start drinking here. And where is that? At the altars on every Roman Catholic church. That is where the wellspring of life is. Jesus Christ says, I am that well. And the only place on the face of this planet are Catholic churches where the body, blood, soul, and divinity of this one who said, I am the wellspring of life, is present. It's very simple. It's very important that you tell people that they need to come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.